Hello everyone, my name is Frances, if you don't know who I am, and I'm the vicar of St Andrew's Oakshott. As it says on our notice on our closed church doors, the church has left the building. And this is one way in which we are attempting to keep in contact with you, to give you a sense of fellowship and some spiritual sustenance in these difficult times. I hope this week has been not as bad as you'd thought it might be, and that you feel connected in whatever way you can be with whoever is dear to you and your friends. I'm going to, in a moment, ask Jolyon, my husband, to read our passage. But first of all, I'm going to pray for all of us as we approach God's word. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word, a point of permanence in a rapidly changing world. Indeed, you remind us that your word will never change. It will stand forever. Father, we pray you will open our hearts and our minds, as well as our ears, to hear you speak to each of us today. By your Spirit and in your name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
So Jolyon is now going to read to us from Revelation, the very last book of the Bible, chapter 21 and the first six verses.
So our reading, Revelation 21, beginning at verse 1. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "See, the home of God is among mortals. He will dwell with them. They will be his peoples, and God himself will be with them. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. Death will be no more. Mourning and crying and pain will be no more, for the first things have passed away." And the one who was seated on the throne said, "See, I am making all things new." Also he said, "Write this, for these words are trustworthy and true." Then he said to me, "It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty I will give water as a gift from the spring of the water of life." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
So, Revelation. I wonder how many of you have tried reading it and then found it so confusing that you have stopped. I think I have to claim to be one of those as well. But in our Bible course, we have gone through the whole Bible and now we are at our last session, session 8 on Revelation. So we cannot avoid it any longer. And in fact, I hope you will see just in this short time that Revelation offers us a lot of comfort and a lot of a sense of God being in control, whatever our circumstances. So let's look at what this means, this whole book. Let's put it in context in the Bible course, of which some of you will have done this session and others have not. So Revelation is our translation of the Greek word apocalypse, and that Greek word means the disclosure, the revelation, the revealing of something, an uncovering of something. Now in the book of Revelation, what is being uncovered is what is happening in heaven now and what will happen at the end of the age. So as it were, the curtain is drawn back And we are shown what's happening in heaven through Revelation. It was written by the Apostle John, who wrote the Gospel, John, and it was written at a time of persecution. The Emperor Domitian had decided that he wasn't at all keen on this new Christian church. And so there was persecution of Christians happening. Those pictures of Roman amphitheatre with gladiators, wild creatures and human sacrifices, that is the time that we're talking about. Christians being sent out literally among the lions to be killed. The Apostle John was exiled at this time, towards the end of the first century AD, to the island of Patmos. And while he was there with a group of other disciples, a second generation disciples, as an older man, he had a series of visions of the Lord, which he wrote down and which formed the book of Revelation. Revelation is quite unlike any other writing in the Bible. And that's sometimes why we find it so hard and so many of us have been put off reading it. It is full of unworldly, unearthly creatures, strange combinations of wild animals and things we know of, but which appear quite horrid to us. It's also full of symbolism of numbers, the number 7, the number 12, 12 times 12, 144, and so on. All of these things are a code giving us other messages loaded with significance. But let's not worry about the vision. I want today to talk about that passage that Jolyon read to us, which I think is a really key passage for us today, in particular in this time of the coronavirus scare. So, in Revelation, the central vision is actually given in chapter 7. Chapter 7 of Revelation has these words. There was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, robed in white, with palm branches in their hands. And they cried out in a loud voice, saying, "Salvation belongs to our God, who is seated on the throne, and to the Lamb." That central vision of God being in charge is at the centre of the series of visions in Revelation, and I think is central to our faith and our ability to find peace at this time of uncertainty. God in control, and Jesus, the sacrificial lamb, rules on the throne of heaven. Now let's look at Revelation 21, the vision that Jolyon just read to us. It begins, "There's a new heaven and a new earth." In other words, the old earth with all its troubles, with all its fears, with all its diseases, will one day be swept away, and God will come again in glory as the one who is on the throne. And if we go to heaven before that time, then these things will be revealed to us at that point. But I think there are three key things I'd like to share out of this vision in chapter 21. The first is this. It says in verse 3, "See, the home of God is among mortals. He will dwell with him. He will dwell with them, and they will be his peoples." That's a really important point, a distinguishing feature of the major religions of the world, that God is a personal God. God is God who comes to dwell among us. As we remember at Christmas time, Emmanuel, God with us. as the Christians at the time that John wrote these revelations down, knew in their despair, they knew that God was with them as they faced their enemy and as they were persecuted by the Romans. Today, you and I can turn to God, our Heavenly Father, who is seated on the throne of heaven. We can go to him and say, Lord, I feel afraid. Lord, I feel lost. Lord, I am just so worried. Whatever it is that's on our hearts, we can turn to him. And let's remember too to give him thanks. Imagine yourself, as it were, sitting in the lap of God, your Heavenly Father, snuggled up to him and able to tell him anything that's on your heart. Of course, he knows it already, but he loves to hear it from you. So that's the first thing. God will dwell with us. Secondly, in verses 3 and 4, it says this, God himself will be with them and he will wipe every tear from their eyes. Death will be no more. Mourning and crying and pain will be no more. I've used this reading at funeral services several times as it's been chosen by families of bereaved. And this is a really important facet of this vision, verses 3 and 4, that God not only listens as we speak to him, but he makes everything new. In time, all of this suffering will be gone. And he wishes to take the tears and wipe them from our eyes. We have our 2-year-old granddaughter, her parents and little baby brother living with us in lockdown. And just a few moments ago, Jemima came to me with her hand held out and said, Grandma, I've got an owie. And what she wanted me to do was just kiss the place that she thought was hurting. And then that made everything better. And I'm not trying to suggest that God just brushes us off and gives us a superficial healing. But the communication is like that, that God wants to wipe every tear from our eyes. And whilst we do shed tears as we live on earth and we go through times of suffering, we can turn to him with our tears. But one day when his designs for the world are fulfilled, or when we go to heaven, whichever is first, we will find that all our tears will be wiped away, that there will be no more mourning, no more suffering, none of those things that currently fill our minds as we watch the inexorable spread of this horrid virus. So that's the second thing. The third and final thing, I think, is exemplified in verse 6. God says, it is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. God knew that this coronavirus would happen. He knows the end from the beginning. Back in the prophet Isaiah chapter 46, there are these words, I am God and there is no other. I am God and there is no one like me, declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient times, things not yet done, saying, my purpose shall stand and I will fulfill my intention. Nothing that is happening to us now will prevent God's perfect will for each of us being carried out. He knew this coronavirus was coming and he knows how each of us will finish this period of unusually isolated activity and life. He is with us in it and he's already decided how it ends. And we too can rest in that, that God on the throne in heaven is still in charge. Whatever it looks like from our perspective, God has a different perspective, a heavenly and an eternal perspective. As we come to him, let's ask him to give us a sense of his perspective on all of this. So first, God is living with us. His home is among mortals. Emmanuel, God with us. We can turn to him with anything. Secondly, he will wipe every tear from their eyes, and death will be no more. One day that will be fulfilled in the time where we're left struggling with the suffering and so on. God wants to come close to him, to have our tears wiped by him now and be put back on our feet to face another set of challenges, whatever the day may bring. And finally, that God is in charge. He knows the end from the beginning, and nothing will thwart his eternal and good purposes for each of us. So God, to finish, our Heavenly Father knows about coronavirus. He knows how each of us feels about it. He longs to allay our fears and bring us peace. And finally, he longs also to give us his perspective on what's happening in our world today. Let's turn now to him in prayer, which Jolyon will lead us in.
So let us pray together. Heavenly Father, as we come before you in prayer, we do so holding on to the promises of Revelation, all that Francis has said. Thank you for Jesus, his passion, his suffering with us in the world, his knowing of our temptation and weakness. Thank you for his victory over sin and death, his resurrection, and his living presence with us now. Praise you most of all for your good purpose for us in and through all things, living or dying. Your promise of a new heaven and a new earth. Your invitation into eternal relationship with you. Help us to trust in these promises. Heavenly Father, we do not know the way ahead. Help us to trust you who know the end from the beginning. Lord, we are worried about almost everything. Will you, the Prince of Peace, fill us with your love and peace? Father, we are tempted to panic. Help us to feel your presence with us as we go through this crisis. Lord God, we are used to feeling in control. Help us to trust you, the one who is truly in control. Amen. And then let's pray particularly for others. Loving Father, we pray now for the many less fortunate than we are, for those grieving in this country, in Italy, in Spain, in the USA, and so many other places. We pray with broken hearts for those without homes, those without jobs, income, or food. We pray for the millions across the world who don't have access to modern healthcare and are living hand to mouth in crowded conditions in India, Africa, Pakistan. We pray for our leaders nationally and internationally, asking for wisdom, protection, cooperation, and yes, healing too. And we pray to you for all our medical and emergency services so willingly putting themselves in danger on the front line. And we pray for all the invisible support staff similarly involved. Will you be with, will you strengthen, will you encourage all of these in Jesus' name? Amen. And let's pray for two local bodies that we support as mission partners. Father, we pray today for the Cobham Food Bank with thanksgiving for Hugh and his dedicated team. We ask for your continued weekly provision of over a ton of goods that go out. We pray for adequate drivers and packers. We pray for every person who needs help to ask for it and be given it. And Lord, we also pray for beatitude. We pray for Jenny and Naomi, her daughter. We pray for their connecting with and finding creative ways to reach those who are most needy and isolated. We pray that everyone who needs it will have the courage to ask for help. And we pray especially for some of the most vulnerable young, often single mothers, living in tiny flats with no gardens. Would you provide through this ministry and care for them? In Jesus' name, amen. And finally, perhaps we should pray together. I'll say it slowly and you can echo it in your hearts, the prayer that Jesus taught us. And so we say, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. It's been good to be together. It's been good to welcome you again into our home. Now, words of blessing and peace. May the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, be with us evermore and those we love, today and always. Amen.